ఓం జ్ఞానస్ నిబంధస్య జ్ఞానంజన శలాకాయ చక్షురుమీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః.
శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కంటో 3 చాప్టర్ 24 టెక్స్ట్ 16 ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ కామెంటరీ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీల ఏసి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్ ఫౌండర్ ఆచార్య ఆఫ్ ఇస్కాన్. కన్సిస్టెంట్లీ త్రూ అవుట్ హిస్ పర్పోర్ట్స్ అండ్ హిస్ స్పీకింగ్, గివింగ్ లెక్చర్స్, కన్వర్సేషన్స్, Prabhupada establishes again and again and again, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is not impersonal. Our relationship is with Krishna. Our eternal relationship is with Krishna. Impersonalism, this was one of Prabhupada's main preaching thrusts against impersonalism, practically the main, is Pranam Mantra, which was also composed by Prabhupada himself, because at that time the devotees were so much neophyte that they didn't know anything. Even Prabhupada had to teach them how to praise him. So in his Pranam Mantra, it specifically stated, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pichani, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshitani. As a servant of Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada is preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya in the Western countries, which are filled with impersonalism and voidism. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, that was his main mission, as Prabhupada pointed out in the prayer he made to him. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast removed. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very pleased that he has understood my mind. He has demonstrated that what is my actual intent? Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast removed. Impersonalism is a calamity. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschattadeshatana. And the Western countries are filled with this impersonalism. Once Prabhupada was asked, why is it said in the Western world? Because that impersonalism is all over the world. And Prabhupada said, yes, but that was my specific instruction from my spiritual master to preach in the Western countries. And Prabhupada, he took that instruction and took it further. He preached in all the countries, knowing the desire of his spiritual master, the Lord, desire of Lord Chaitanya, priti vite. All over the world, Krishna consciousness should be spread. He did more. It's like Hanuman was sent to Lanka. Well, he was not sent to Lanka, but he was sent in the southern direction. You go that way. Look that way. Find if Sita's there. So he found Sita, and finding the opportunity, he also set fire to Lanka, burned it all down, and then built it all up again, and Rama and the monkeys came and destroyed it all again. So this impersonalism, Prabhupada taking every opportunity to drive that out, because that is our nature, that we tend to be impersonal in our dealings, even sometimes among devotees we find. Why this impersonalism? This Prabhupada is analyzed, especially in the purport to the verse, Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mangpashataha bhavo jnana tapasa putamad bhava magata. In this verse in Gita, Lord Krishna says that being freed from attachment, fear and anger, many, many persons in the past have become purified by knowledge and renunciation, and thus they have come to me. So Prabhupada analyzes, what is this fear? There are different reasons why people don't become Krishna conscious. One of the reasons is fear. They're afraid of a personal conception of God. They're afraid because they had so many dealings with people before and they all ended in disappointment, frustration. You give their heart to someone and the person simply cheats them, exploits them. Just like we in Kazan, in Russia. I remember that we had our little hut there. And next door was the dog. And the dog was so much, whenever its master would come, it's very eager. And the master would say, and then the master would walk out of the house. And the dog would be, making, simply frustrated. And the dog wants to put his love. But the master has kept the dog as a watchdog. He doesn't care about the dog, feeds it. Even when he went to feed it, he'd give it another smash. And the dog disappointed. So because of disappointment, then we think, let me have no relationship. I'll just be formal. And we see that in some countries of the world, especially Sweden. I remember I was in Sweden quite a few years ago. People, they're very nice. But they're as cold as the climate in winter. Nice means officially, formally, smiling, yes sir, no sir, three vice versa. No feeling. And actually, you'll find suicide rate so high because people, they don't extend themselves to each other. A very common thing in Sweden that people, they'll be living next door to each other for years. They don't even know the name of the person. And they never talk to them. And eventually they find out they're dead because the smell is coming from the apartment next door. And they were sick for so many days. No one knew, no one cared. And then they died and no one knew either. No one noticed it. They're not coming in and out anymore because they're just completely impersonal. So unhappy. Unhappy. Even from the material point of view, they're very unhappy. But they feel protected inside their cocoon. They put a social cocoon around themselves by which they're superficially very nice to each other. They don't disturb each other. They're very well behaved. But at the same time, there's no interaction with each other and they simply have their own frustrations all bottled up within them. And sometimes frustration results in suicide. There's some cultures of the world, they're extremely impersonal. Just like in Hong Kong, devotees are telling me, they'll go on Sankirtan, book distribution. And so many times they go in an office and then someone will be typing away. I don't know exactly how they do typing in Chinese. There must be some system. Must have a big typewriter. So they'd come in and say, excuse me, I'd like to show you these books. And the person would just go on, as if they weren't there. It's a very common response. And then they'd speak to the person next to them, pass them that piece of paper. They go on the phone and say, excuse me. And they just completely ignore them. So this is very, it's painful. Even if it's someone you don't know, you're never going to see them again. You never establish any relationship with them. But because their behavior towards you is so cold and impersonal, that you just feel hurt, even by someone you don't know. I can't think of anything more discouraging. If someone says to you, get out of here, you loud, at least you can say something back to them. There's some kind of relationship. But if they completely ignore you, it's most icy. It's almost frightening, like an impersonal voice. So our Krishna conscious movement, that is meant for establishing the atmosphere of Vaikuntha personalism, where that personalism, what does that mean? That means we have full faith in Krishna. Full faith in Krishna, and Vaikuntha atmosphere means there's not only Krishna, me and God, but there's the devotees also. So Vaikuntha atmosphere means where everyone is working together to serve Krishna. Now, why does impersonalism come? Even in our movement sometimes we see it's kind of impersonal dealings, formal and nice, but no heart, no feelings. Well, Prabhupada analyzes that because of fear of being frustrated. It may be that in our movement, sometimes dealings between devotees have not been to the proper standard. And devotees, they feel frustrated, or even worse, they may feel cheated. I came to this Krishna consciousness for higher consciousness, better consciousness than in the material world. But now I find here also the kind of dealings that they're not, they're also frustrating. So alright, then again, alright, I'll be a devotee, but there's me, my guru and Krishna and everyone else. Yes sir, three, no sir, three bags full sir. And you know, I don't talk to you, you don't talk to me. And if we do, it's very formal and no exchange. So then everything goes on, but it's not appealing. It's not appealing even to Krishna. Krishna in Bhagavatam, which is not different from Krishna, Krishna says, not Krishna, that's one of the monies. I can't remember which one. Anyways, famous verse. Archayameva haraye pujanga shadhyanvate natad bhakte shuchaneshu sabhakta prakritasmita. The one who is faithfully worshipping the deities, but has no regard for the devotees or for anyone else, then he is prakriti bhakti, means still on the material platform. Not very pleasing to Krishna. Even if someone worships Krishna with so many different items, but if he's not pleasing to the devotees, then Krishna is not very pleased to accept that. Just like we see, Duryodhana wanted to offer Krishna so many preparations, but Krishna didn't even want to go there. He was not interested. So you cook so many nice preparations? Very good. You eat them. I'm not going to eat them. I'll go and eat with Vidur. And what's Vidur? His wife is there offering banana skins. Krishna is eating. Oh, very nice. Offered with love. So we have to see what will be pleasing to Krishna. Krishna is very pleased when devotees cooperate together to serve him. Sometimes it may be that we've had some frustrations, something like this, some bad dealings in the past, but we should know what is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means all the devotees together very feelingly serving Krishna. After all, Krishna consciousness means to have feelings for Krishna. Their rules and regulations are essential, but it's not simply rules and regulations. It's how we are living together with the devotees to practice Krishna consciousness. And I can understand, actually, here in England and Ireland, there's some syndrome like that, because there were some severe problems in the past whereby devotees, there was even quite many theories and speculations in the world about God. Who is God? What is the nature of God? But as Srila Prabhupada often used to say, if we actually want to understand who is God, then the best thing is to take information from Him Himself. If God Himself speaks, then we can know that this is correct. Just like one may have different theories about a person. But if He says Himself, I like, just like you see sometimes they have these profiles of some great nonsense personality of the material world, what he or she likes to eat, usually some horrible things, how they spend a normal day in the life of some great Buddha, they put. So that people are anxious to get information about the great people of this material world, some great politician or sportsman or cinema star, musician. So that propensity, that should be placed in trying to understand God. God is a person, just as we are people. At this point, you should try to understand God is a person. What does it mean? Means, person means personality. Likes, dislikes. Some things he likes, some things he doesn't like. He has feelings, emotions. When we insult him, he doesn't feel very happy. When he is praised sincerely, he feels very happy. He likes. Someone will approach him with love. So, this person, to get proper knowledge of him, what is the best method? If he speaks himself. Krishna says, I am like this. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all powerful. Generally, we conceive of God as being all powerful. Actually, God is all powerful, and much more than being all powerful, he is also Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Shriya Gyanavairagya Yoshchaiva Shandangalya Tingana. He is also all opulent. He has all the riches, all the power, all the fame, all beauty, all knowledge, all renunciation, all qualities are in him. So Bhagavad Gita is a summary of the opulence, the majesty of God. It also gives some indication that beyond simply understanding God as the supreme majestic, there is understanding of God as the supreme attractive person, that we have a loving relationship with him. This is suggested throughout the Gita, and ultimately Krishna says, Vandana Bhavaman Bhakta, become my devotee. Devotion means exchange of love. But that love, that is also under some knowledge, some understanding. It's not simply, as in this material world, someone may love someone else as an equal. That is also there in higher stages of Krishna consciousness. But first of all, we have to understand how God is great. Otherwise, artificially, if we try to love God without appreciating His greatness, unless...
lesser as an appreciation of his greatness, then there will be a tendency in approaching him with a loving attitude to take him for granted or to consider ourselves to be equal to him. Just like they are the Sahajiya class, they consider artificially that they have entered into a relationship with Krishna in a very intimate way. So Bhagavad Gita first of all teaches us what is the greatness of God. And here this is being described, giving some examples so that we may begin to understand it. Yatharkasho stitonitam. What is it? Vayu sarvatra gomaha. Just like the wind that rests in the sky, but the wind is resting in the sky. It appears to be all pervading, but actually the wind is resting in the sky. The sky and the wind are something different. The sky is much greater than the wind. The wind only takes up a small portion of the sky. Even if the wind stops blowing, the sky continues to exist. So in the same way, Krishna is the support of all existence. Everything rests in Krishna. These few verses describes how everything rests in Krishna. Still, Krishna is a person. By his impersonal manifestation, Krishna supports and maintains all the universes. Still, he is a person. He is aloof from the cosmic manifestation. He's not bound by that. Sometimes we've seen the picture of Atlas in Greek mythology. He's a big, strong man, holding up the earth, great, bent over by the weight. But who is actually God? He's holding all the planets, not only this tiny earth, but all the planets, with just a tiny part of his potency. And then the Shesh, he is a form of the Lord who has snake-like hoods. And on these hoods, all the planets are resting, just like a mustard seed even in your hair, those of us who have. If there's a mustard seed there, you don't even feel it. So in the same way, Krishna is maintaining everything effortlessly. This is the greatness of God. When we say how great is God, we can't understand, we can't measure it. We can't measure how great is God. But Bhagavad Gita gives us some idea, just to give us some idea how his greatness is immeasurable. Then another feature of his greatness is, despite the fact that he is so great, he is beckoning to us. What is Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is calling Arjuna, you come to me. You be my devotee. I will accept you. Some people have made the idea, some theologians or philosophers have made the idea that God is so great that we can't approach him. He's too majestic, too great, too big. And we are so small, so sinful, so fallen. Therefore, we should always remain at a distance from him. He will always be so much aloof from us. But actually, who is God himself? He doesn't say that. He says, you can have a very intimate relationship with me. First, we have to have this understanding, how God is great. Surrender to him. Give up all our material desires. Then, as we advance in Krishna consciousness, with giving ourselves fully in reciprocation to Krishna, Krishna also reciprocates with us. That if you want to fully give yourself to me, you can do more and more and more and more, to the stage where one even forgets how great is Krishna. And simply serves him out of love, even forgetting his majestic opulences. And therefore we have the different rasas of Krishna consciousness. Sakya rasa, in which one thinks that Krishna, he is my friend. And devotees, just like Arjuna, we find here in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna would sometimes, he would lie on the bed with Krishna, they would be joking with each other, they would eat together, sleep together, fight together. They were just complete friends. Arjuna, sometimes he would think, this is the Supreme Lord. But even when he was thinking that, even when he was knowing that, his main feeling towards Krishna is that, oh, this is my very good friend. Therefore, Krishna's name, one name of Krishna is Krishna Sakha, means friend of Arjuna, because Arjuna's one name is also Krishna, because he's also blackish bodily features. So Krishna is the famous as the friend of Arjuna. And Krishna has many such names in relationship with his devotees. Krishna very much likes to be known as the son in relationship with his devotees. Just like Nanda Nanda, the darling son of Nanda Maharaj. Devaki Suta, son of Devaki. Vraja Jana Ranjana, the darling of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So Krishna very much likes to be known of in relationship with his devotees. Generally, everyone in the world, they worship God how he is great. But Krishna, he personally prefers that kind of approach to him, that kind of devotional service to him, in which his greatness is forgotten as one advances more and more in love of him, and one approaches him as friend, parent, lover. Now, this is especially the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spread not only knowledge of Krishna, but love of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very easily giving love of Krishna. That love of Krishna, which normally cannot be understood even in millions and millions of lifetimes. Anarpita chiring chirat karunya vatirna kama samapyata manutajvara nasasva bhakti shriyam hari puruta sundara jyoti virama sandipita sada hridaya kandares purutubha shachinandana. Rupa Goswami gives everyone the benediction that may Shachinandana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, be manifested in your heart. Why? Because that resplendent devotional service enriched with the intimate feelings of for Krishna, that was especially propagated by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That which was not given for a very long time previously. For a very long time previously means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu generally comes once in the day of Brahma. Krishna comes once in the day of Brahma, and in Dwarpa Yuga, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the same Krishna, Vijendra Nandan Jai Shachi Shuta Hailo Se Balarama Hailo Nita, who was Jashoda Nandana, Krishna, becomes Shachi Nandana, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And who is Balaram, he becomes Nitai, Nityananda, Nityananda Prabhu. Dino Hino Jato Chilo Harinama Yudharila Tar Shaki Jagai Madhai. And there, what are they doing? They are saving those who are the most fallen. How? By giving them the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It is not just talk, but the actual evidence is there. Jagai, Madhai. And now in this modern age, hundreds and thousands of Jagais and Madhais and their followers in the modern age, Jagai and Madhai, the Jagai Madhai principle is reincarnated in hundreds and thousands all over the world, but by the power of the holy name, they have been delivered. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that which is very rare to be given, what is that? Swabhakti Shriyam, the opulence of his own devotional service in a Tajvala Rasa, which is enriched with the highest mellows of devotion, that is given by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught Bhagavad Gita, he taught Srimad Bhagavatam, and he revealed the essence of this. Otherwise, by formal religious processes, even to understand how great is God, is not a very easy thing. Because even when we come to practice religion, we tend to do it in a very formal way, and the tendency is to twist the religious teaching for our own sense gratification. We find this all over the world, that in the name of religion, people are simply extracting some kind of sense gratification. Mostly people take religion as an adjunct to their sense gratification. My dear God, you are very great. Please cure my backache. Please give me some more money. People go to the church, or the mosque, or the temple, whatever, thinking that God, I have a function, I should go to church. And God has a function, he should solve all my problems. So of course this is better than being an atheist. But it's not actually very satisfying to God. Then he is giving knowledge of himself in human society so that people will come forward and love him. And simply they're coming, dear God, give me this, give me that, give me something else. So when one goes beyond that formal social function of praying to God for some material benefit, then he may begin to understand actually how great is God. And that especially in the Vaishnava Sampradayas, different Vaishnava Sampradayas are there, which teach how great is God. What is his majesty? What is his opulence? He is Lakshmipati. Everyone is praying to Lakshmi. Please, benedict us with money. Or they're praying to different demigods. for different benedictions. And approach all so many different demigods for different benedictions. But when one realizes that Lord Narayana, He is the head of all the demigods. He is the support of all the universe. Everything rests on Him. Even the demigods are supportive to Him. Then one begins to worship Lord Narayana, Lakshmi Narayana, out of a sense of appreciation of their great opulence and majesty. That is being described here in this verse, the opulence and majesty of God. And even those who are worshippers of the impersonal Brahman, they can also understand from these verses that, that impersonal Brahman, that rests in Krishna. Whichever way we examine, whichever way we come to examine, what is the position of this material world, all the millions of planets and stars, how they're all resting in Krishna, or how Krishna expands Himself in the hearts of all living beings. Everything, if we examine about Krishna, that is all wonderful. Therefore Krishna's one name is Adbhuta Karmana. Everything He does is wonderful. He's also working. God is also working. He's not obliged to work. Krishna says in the Gita, I'm not obliged to work, nor do I want, nor do I have anything to gain by doing work. But still He works. Still He does something. Just to set an example for the people in the world. So God is working, but not like our work. When God does something, it's not like our work. We may cook a chapati or chop down a tree or something. But Krishna, simply by His Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, by His different opulences, He creates, maintains and destroys millions of universes. And how does He do that? Just by a spark of His potency. What is that? Atilabahunaitena kingatena tavarjuna vishnabhyanidam krishna ekam shenastito jagat. In the 10th chapter of Gita, Lord Krishna describes some of His opulences, how Stavaran and Himalaya, well, everything great and wonderful that we see in this world, that is a representation of Krishna, just like the Himalayas. Among immovable objects, the Himalayas, they are a representation of Krishna. Then Krishna summarizes that all the wonderful things you can see, and even the wonderful things you don't see, anything you can imagine in this world, that is simply a representation of Krishna. But what need is there, Krishna says, for such a detailed description? Because with just a tiny fragment of My potency, I create, maintain and destroy all the worlds. So when one becomes actually interested to understand the glories of God, then if he is very fortunate, he will have the opportunity to study these Vedic literatures and get some inkling, some tiny idea of the greatness of God. And understanding the greatness of God, one surrenders to Him, and then one may also be blessed to learn something of His different incarnations, such as Ram, Narasimha, Varaha, Kurma. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being especially merciful and especially kind, because that bhakti, which can may be attained after many births of cultivating knowledge, Bahunam Jamanaman Te Gyanavan Nam Prapadite Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudulava. Generally, someone who is cultivating knowledge of God, after many, many births, they may actually come to realize how great is God. Who is that God? Vasudev, all-pervading Vasudev, the personality of Godhead, the son of Vasudev, and therefore surrender to Him. But in Kali Yuga, people are, their intelligence is crippled. Mandasu manda mati, oh manda bhagi hui upadita. Everyone has all disqualifications. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing special mercy once in the day of Brahma. He comes up with special purpose. All right, anyone can come. Even you don't have millions of lifetimes studying the Vedas, even you don't have any qualification, even if you're full of disqualifications, but if you take this one qualification, that you chant Hare Krishna with a little faith, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is willing to give that kind of devotion which normally cannot be attained even in many lifetimes. Brahmara Durlabha Prem, Lochandash Thakur exults in one of his songs. How wonderful it is that Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving love of Krishna, which even great demigods, even Lord Brahma, who studied all the Vedas so many times, who is an expert in Vedic knowledge, who is the most pure and powerful Brahmana, even he finds it difficult to obtain such a level of devotional service. That is something very secret and something very wonderful. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving that freely. So this Mataji was asking about Sankirtan. So actually the whole Bhagavad Gita we're studying, why are we studying? To try to understand within our capacity, it's not possible to understand fully, but to try to understand Krishna. Also, that means when we get some appreciation, it's natural that a devotee wants to share this. Is it not? This knowledge of Krishna, we want to share it. And when we share that knowledge of Krishna, then we also become more happy in Krishna consciousness, because yasmin tushte jagat tushta. When Krishna is satisfied, everyone else becomes satisfied. And we practically experience this, that when we give knowledge of Krishna to others, then we also become very happy, we also become very satisfied, because Krishna is satisfied with us. We become happy. Those who actually have a devotional spirit, they're not simply interested in studying all these things for their own elucidation. They naturally feel inclined that why don't we share this with others? This is such wonderful knowledge. Let us try to share this with others. And we feel that great happiness when we see someone taking to devotional service, or someone takes a book of Krishna consciousness. We see them walking away with one of Prabhupada's books. And even greater pleasure when we see that people are actually reading these books and beginning to appreciate them. And people are reading them and appreciating them. That's the fact. We know that because we get so many letters from people, or we meet people, or someone turns up in our temple and says, I want to join, I got one of your books. People are actually appreciative. That just came in the Sankirtan, I think it was the last Sankirtan newsletter. One devotee was saying, now he stamps a book, that this book was joyfully distributed by Madhavanandas. So if you have any questions, he gives his address somewhere in San Francisco. With the idea that someone who gets the book, they may have some questions, but they feel, oh, they remember that person, he sold the book to me, his name is there, and they may write to him and feel that reciprocate, that it's not just, okay, I gave you a book, never see you again, thanks, I got your money, you can report my score, so-and-so das ki jai ho, but actually feeling that I'm giving you this book, and if you want to take it further, then I'm ready to reciprocate with that. That this knowledge is something to be shared, but of course it's not so very easy to understand. We're distributing Bhagavad Gita, but it's not very easy to understand. Actually, if we associate with devotees, we can understand. It's very difficult if you're just sitting at home to understand these books. I remember when we were first distributing, at least that was the first time for many years, we were distributing these Bhagavad Gitas in England in the 1970s. All over England we were going in a whole fleet of vans all over the country. We had this yellow cover, this Bhagavad Gita as it is, abridged edition. Because that time Macmillan Company hadn't given us the rights. They were holding the rights for the full book. So we distributed so many of these books. Then after some time, we went back to the same areas, distributing other books. We'd meet people, and they'd say, oh, I already got your, what's it called? Bhagavad Gita, yeah, we'd say Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, so did you read it? Yeah, I read it, but I couldn't really understand it. So then you'd explain to the people, well, I'll just spend a few minutes telling them, what it means is that these bodies are temporary, but the soul within the body is eternal. You can see your body's changing. Just to say exactly the same thing as in the Bhagavad Gita, but just in very simple language. Say, oh, yeah, now I can understand. What's that book you've got there? And give them another book. So like this, people appreciate that personal response. And we're finding now all over the world so many letters coming in. There's more and more and more interest in Krishna consciousness. Even there's so much interest. We may be surprised at how much interest is there. Just like our devotees, they were surprised. Recently, Jibhuvanath Prabhu did a program in central, just north of central London. And about 800 people came to the program. And we're thinking that, well, London, no one, who's interested in Krishna consciousness in London? But there are many people. And we'll find everywhere we go. Just on Sunday, I was in Romford, which is just, practically it's a suburb of London. It's a middle class area. So, maybe you all know, there's one devotee there who's been preaching for many years, Grihasthi. He has a program in his house, at least once a week. And so many, in the course of the years, many people have come. many of them moved into the temples or they moved somewhere else and became devotees. He has a regular group of people coming around, and what do? They have kirtan, lecture, prasada, usual program of Krishna consciousness. And people come, they ask questions, they start chanting Hare Krishna, and they get initiated and they preach to others. So I was thinking, actually, we can have this. This just shows we've distributed so many books in so many places. We can have so many programs like this everywhere. Everywhere there's scope. Everywhere you go now in the world. It wasn't the same before. I joined this movement in 1975, so I was traveling throughout England and Ireland for about 2 years before I moved out to India. So that time, we were going out, it was very much a pioneering time. Still it's pioneering time, but even more so then. So we didn't find so much interest. Somehow or other, we were selling quite a lot of books, but actual interest in the philosophy and all these things, there wasn't very much at all. But now times have changed. People are interested. They've got these books, they've read them, and there's been so much Harinam and prasad distribution, book distribution, festivals. And we always say that if we do these things, then people will become purified. There's some visitors standing outside. Someone like to invite them in, some ladies. So, actually it's a fact. Purification process is going on. People are becoming interested. And I'm finding everywhere in the world is tremendous scope now for Krishna consciousness. Tremendous. Tremendous interest. Everywhere. It's just dormant under the surface. But anywhere practically, if we go, if we organize festivals, people will come. They're interested. And it's not any particular section of society. All classes of people. Old people, young people, more educated, less educated. All kinds of people are interested. So there's tremendous scope, as Ramanuja was saying. In his analysis, we were talking about the last few years of Krishna consciousness in Ireland, saying that now things are, there are ups and downs, and we've been through somewhat of a down for some time. Now things are picking up, and we're realizing that there's tremendous scope for Krishna consciousness. There always was, but just that somehow or other, we were in some kind of illusion that there wasn't, that people weren't interested, and we weren't together. But actually the tremendous scope is there. So it's our duty as devotees to not only be practicing Krishna consciousness for ourselves, but to also reach out to others. People want Krishna consciousness. People are interested. As we say, everyone is saying, what is that? George Harrison has written at the beginning of Krishna book. He's written a very nice introduction. That everyone is looking for Krishna. Not everybody knows it, but everybody is. Some people look for Krishna in sports or physical sense gratification or so many different ways. People are looking for happiness in so many different ways. But ultimately, everyone is looking for Krishna. The nectar for which everyone is always anxious is Krishna. Now, by the preaching of devotees over so many years, a favorable situation has been created for Krishna consciousness. So let us take advantage of this situation. Of course, here, this community, it's, as I was saying yesterday, it's not exactly the same as a city preaching center, but it's a country preaching center. It's a little different. That means we're inviting people to come. Jai Radha Govinda. We're also going out. Who knows what fortune the people of Enniskillen have in a small town in the middle of nowhere, and they're getting so much Harinam Sankirtan. Middle of nowhere, actually they're not in the middle of nowhere, they're close to Radha Govinda's temple. Very important place, the most important place in the whole of Ireland, along with Radha Madhav temple and Dublin temple. These are the important, if we want to make a map of the world, we should show. Here is Lake Island of Inishrath, most important place in the whole of Northern Ireland. Not Belfast also, because there's a temple there. Otherwise, Derry, Newry, Bangor, Coleraine, they're only important because they have so many books distributed there. And because we do high enough time to time. Otherwise, not very important. That Prabhupada was saying, he went to Gainesville, Florida. And he said that, he was referring to it as a remote place. Of course you think, America. This is America. This is the most important country in the world. Prabhupada said this is a remote place, far away from Mayapur Dham. So, these are the actual spiritual centers, and we want to invite people in, give them prasadam, invite them to darshan. I just saw some people that come here, probably the boat people. A lot of, now is the tourist season coming up, so it's a good opportunity. Last year I was here also for a few days, and I saw quite a lot of people coming in. It's very nice, all kinds of people. Mostly they're all very well-to-do people, actually, those who are going on boat holidays. So they're in a mood also to be, they're not in that usual rush, I've got to run to work. They're in a mood of enjoy. Let's be happy and be friendly with different people. So they, out of curiosity, they may come, and you can invite them, speak to them, show them duties, give them prasadam, and they'll always remember. For us, we may not remember. They'll get, we see so many people, and sometimes we meet them and say, oh, you meet them, and you might have a program with 500 people, and they come up to you and you say three words to them, and then you, somehow or other you meet them 3 years later. Do you remember me? No. But they remember. For them, I was on my holiday. They didn't expect that. They're on their holiday, going here and there, and all of a sudden, you see what happens, they come and take darshan of Radha Govinda, and they'll never forget. So wherever we are, whatever situation we can be, there's always the chance to communicate Krishna consciousness to others. So let us remember that. Our movement is meant for our own upliftment and for helping others also. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So is there any question? Hare Krishna. You're going on a boat here? I was just talking about that now. Now in the summer, many people are going on their holidays here. Summer? It's supposed to be summer. So they like to come here also. Is it the temple? Any questions? We're just having a class on Bhagavad Gita. Do you know what Bhagavad Gita is? Alright, with no questions, we can all move on to our various services. Jai Radha Govinda Ki Jai.